For sin that made my Savior bleed, I hang my head in shame. Yet for the cleansing that I need, that precious blood I claim. The stripes by which my Savior bled bring healing, this I know. The blood that stained his garments red washed mine as white as snow. Wash mine as white as snow.
The harvest of the sin I've sown, he reaped at Calvary. Then sowed a field of his own and willed it all to me.
The stripes by which my Savior bled bring healing, this I know. The blood that stained his garments red wash mine as white as snow. Wash mine as white as snow. The sun could sooner cease to shine, keep to itself its rays. And can't this thankful heart of mine from bursting forth in praise? The stripes by which my Savior bled bring healing, this I know. The blood that stained his garments red wash mine as white as snow. Wash mine as white as snow. Wash mine as white as snow. Wash mine as white as snow.
Amen, Gabe. Hallelujah's right, my friend. Thank God for the wonderful truth that is given in song that we've just heard today. We've heard good singing, and we've been able to join in some good congregational songs. We've been studying in the book of the Psalms and the 23rd Psalm, and I want to continue our study there. I want to talk with you today about maybe one of the most important subjects in the life of a believer. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're here and you're not saved, that you won't have that opportunity today, because we will give you an opportunity to be saved, to know Jesus as your personal Savior, and to experience what was just saying just a moment ago, and that is to have your sins washed white as snow. Nothing like it. Amen. Nothing like it. To stand before God forgiven, justified. Nothing like that. The peace that God gives. See, as a sinner, we're at enmity with God. We're at enmity. But through the blood of the cross, we've been made the friends of God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to make peace with God. It's the only way. It's through Jesus Christ and the shedding of the blood there at Calvary. We're so thankful for that shedding of blood. I'm so thankful that he was laid in a tomb. It was borrowed. Didn't need it very long, about 3 days. Amen. And I'm so glad that he came up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because he came out of the grave, we too shall live in his likeness. And I'm thankful for that. Psalm 23, I want to talk to you about how to get right with God. I want to talk to you about how to get right with God. And then I want to talk to you about how to stay right. Now, there's maybe some people here this morning that you're not right with God. Okay? Now, I want to just comfort you with something. Okay? You say, how can you comfort me and I'm not right with God? Well, I want you to listen. What do Moses and Jacob, Abraham, David, Peter, John Mark, Paul, and we could go on, but for the sake of time, and you and I have in common? If you're saved, you've been out of fellowship with God. You've been backslid. Now, I know backslid is not a New Testament word. It's a New Testament teaching that's formed from an Old Testament word. And I also understand you got to slide forward before you can slide back. So I'm not talking to religious people here that's made a profession of faith and they've never bore any fruit in their life. I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking to those who are new creatures in Christ Jesus. You've been saved by the grace of God. There's been an evidence of that salvation because you were made a new creature. Old things were passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new unto you. There's been an evidence. There's been fruit in your life that you've been to Calvary. You've been saved by the grace of God. You know what I'm speaking to you about. Now, though we're saved, we may not like to admit this, all right? But it doesn't matter whether we want to admit it or not. It's a fact. We stray. We go away from God. I want to talk to you about that this morning. And I want to talk to you how you can get back to God and what God has done in making provision to get back to God. But that's not where it ends. See, that's you look at verse number 3. A lot of people are looking for restoration. He restoreth my soul. That's not where it ends. He restores our soul so that he can lead us into paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, God has an investment in you. God has an investment in me. God's name, God's honor is at stake, you see. And it matters how I live. It matters how you live. It makes a difference how we live as believers. Amen. So, I want to talk to you. First of all, I want to talk to you about restoration. Because you may be sitting here this morning and you need it. I understand that there's many places where you can go that call themselves churches and they know nothing about the ministry of restoration. They may know a little something about the ministry of reconciliation, and I thank God that ministry has been committed to us. The ministry of reconciliation. But then there's a ministry of restoration, and that too has been committed to the brethren. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. Brethren, if any be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore, you see, such a one in the faith, in the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. But now, the Lord Jesus, this shepherd that we look at in Psalm 23, he is the restorer of my soul. And I want to talk to you about that. See, here's one that's already said, not the Lord is a shepherd. And we've looked at this. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. And yet this same one said, he restoreth my soul. There's going to come a time you may be here this morning and you're out of fellowship with God. You say, well, I'm in church, aren't I? That doesn't mean you're in fellowship with God. And so I want to talk to you about the importance of getting right with God, how God has created and how God has provided a way that we can be restored back to fellowship. You may recall there was a time that this man that God used to write this psalm, he fell into sin and he penned down in Psalm 51, he penned down, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You see, he did not pin down, restore unto me salvation. No, once you're saved eternally. So I'm not talking to you about restoring a relationship. I'm talking to you this morning about restoring fellowship, communion, Having that peace, that joy that comes from a walk with God. If you've lost it, I want to talk to you about how you can get it back. Amen? It's possible. Listen to me. It's possible to get that walk back with God. It's possible to get back in fellowship with God. Now you say, well, preacher, this message is not going to be for me because I'm already in fellowship with God. I'm walking with God. Well, I'm not going to only talk with you about the first part of verse number 3, He restoreth my soul. I'm going to talk to you about the second part, time permitting. And that is, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. I'm not going to only talk to you about how to get right with God. I want to talk to you about how to stay right with God. Amen. Amen. See, we need to get concerned about restoration as it applies to righteousness. Amen. We not only need to focus on how to get out of trouble, we need to focus how to get into righteousness. Amen. A lot of people looking to get out of trouble. I've been there myself. May be there again for too long. I don't know. You don't either. No man knows what a day may bring forth. Amen. But we as a people, as Christians, we need to get concerned not only about getting out of trouble, and we're going to have to get out of trouble. Listen to me. We're going to have to come to God and say, God, I done messed up again. But we need to get concerned about how to get into righteousness. God, would you help me in this vicious cycle? God, would you help me put a little space, a little time between need and restoration? And the way you do that is you get some righteousness, and that righteousness will only come from Christ. See, in my hand, no thing I bring. Amen. I don't have any good in me. There's no good in me. You say, preacher, you seem like a pretty good fella. Anything good in me is Jesus. Now, I want you to realize that. So are you just saying that, preacher? Yeah, I am just saying it because it's so. You're looking at a wicked, low-living somebody before Jesus found me. Now, hear me. There's nothing good in me. Nothing. Any good, and you may not see any, and that's all right, but if you see any good in me, you just know for sure that good is of God. That good is of God. And so I have no right to look down my long nose and my thin glasses and judge anybody. God is the judge, and that's what concerns me. I'm very concerned that God is the judge. Amen. I mean, I'm very concerned because He's going to judge me, and He's going to judge you. And so now, since that's been established, and the Lord is my shepherd, how are we going to get back in fellowship with God? How are we going to get right with God? Well, there's three kinds of sheep that the shepherd says that they have to deal with when it comes to getting right, being reestablished in the fold, being reacquainted with the shepherd. And I want you to write them down. Number one, stubborn sheep. Now, I know nobody here is stubborn, and this won't apply to you, so we might not spend a whole lot of time there. No, we're going to spend all the time there, probably. Because if you're half as stubborn as me, you're going to need this message this morning. You say, I'm not stubborn, preacher. See, you won't even let yourself believe you're not stubborn. You're so stubborn, you won't admit you are stubborn. Hey, man, stubborn, brethren, stubborn. Oh, we like sheep, listen to me. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way. Got to have it my way. Stubborn, stubborn. Got to be my way. What about God's way? I want it my way. What about this way? I want it my way. What about that way? I want it this way. Stubborn. Stubborn. You stubborn? Two people stubborn. Rest of us wearing halos. You're stubborn. You got a stubborn streak in you that rebels against God and God's word and authority. Some of you young people, you got a stubborn streak in you that will not bring yourself under the authority and the teaching of your parents and authority that God's placed in your life. But don't you listen. Don't you think I'm up here pointing you out, because I've got that same stubborn streak in me. We're stubborn. And I want to talk to you about how stubborn sheep are dealt with, how much God loves us. You may not like the way God deals with stubborn sheep, but I'm going to tell you something that's good for you. Number two, straying sheep. Now, stubborn sheep are stubborn because of an old self-will. You know, got to be my way. Straying sheep, well, that's not really will as it is just kind of wandering. You know, straying sheep really never willfully and forcefully just butt up and say, I'm going this direction. They just kind of nibble a little bit here, and they get distracted by things, and before they know it, they're a little off the path, and then before they know it, they're away from the fold. And then before they know it, you know, they've wandered away. They've wandered away. And that happens to believers. We lose our focus. We lose our priority. And we get caught up and get entangled with the things of this old world. So straying sheep. Then the third thing is sickly sheep. Sickly. Now, with the stubborn sheep, we're going to see from the Bible that the shepherd uses a rod. Look, if you would, in Psalm 23. Look at it. And look at what the Bible says in verse number 4. The latter part says, For thou art with me, thy rod. You see that instrument? The shepherd's going to use the rod to help the stubborn sheep get back into the fold. Now the shepherd's going to use the staff, see that verse 4? Thy rod and thy staff, to help the straying sheep. Now you know what the difference between a rod and a staff, right? A rod is a small tool, all right? It's got a knob on the end of it. It's dug up as a sapling, and it hardens, and it's shaped. And sometimes the shepherd will put metal in the ball part of that knob, and it's used almost like a weapon. I mean, it's fierce. He protects himself, and he protects his sheep with that rod. All right? The rod. And the rod is for chastisement. And when sheep get stubborn, the shepherd uses chastisement. Now, the straying, that's where the staff comes in. The staff is the shepherd's crook. I'm telling you the way it is, brethren. Listen, this is the way it is in the life of sheep, literally, but it's also the way it is our good shepherd, our great shepherd, deals with us as sheep. Now, the shepherd's crook, that's probably the most familiar part of the shepherd, standing, holding his staff with the crook. Takes it while it's green and wet, bends it so it dries into shape, forms it, and then he uses that shepherd's hook or that shepherd's crook, that staff. What's he do with it? Well, he can lift little lambs out of the mud. Amen. He can retrieve with it. He can bring along the older ones by the neck. He can guide with it by tapping, reaching up and tapping one, keep them away from the cliff and going over the precipice. There's a lot of things that the shepherd can do with the crook, with the staff. But then the sickly, if you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 5 of Psalm 23, look at it here. The latter part of it says, thou anointest my head with oil. Now that's where the sickly, they need the oil. See, the sickly, the weakly, they don't need, listen to me now, the rod. They don't need the rod of chastisement. And they don't need, listen, they do not need the staff of correction. They need the oil of comfort. And so these are three types of sheep, and there's going to be times in your life. There is no doubt when you study the life of David, you'll find him in every one of these situations. He's stubborn, he was straying, and he got wounded and hurt, sickly, weak. And God was there at the level of his need. You know, I'm glad that our shepherd will meet us at the level of our need, aren't you? I'm glad God doesn't come to me when I'm sick and weakly with a rod to chastise me. I'm glad that the good shepherd knows exactly what I need and how I need it. So let's talk about this. First of all, we're going to talk about the stubborn sheep. Now, I do realize that not everyone in here today is stubborn. I'm just saying that we all have some stubbornness in us. We all have some stubbornness in us. And I believe some people have more than others. That's right. My grandmother thought I got enough for the whole family. Amen. She used to tell me, you're the stubbornest boy. But I tell you what, she had a remedy for stubbornness. She did. And I shouldn't have much of that left in me. She beat a lot of it out of me. In Psalm 23, verse number 3, he restoreth my soul. I want to talk to you about stubbornness that leads to willful defiance, breaking the commandments, essentially telling God, no, not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. And the shepherd says, well, now, that's not the way it's going to be. Oh, yes, it is. Well, no, it's not. That shepherd will take that rod. Listen, the shepherd was like a marksman with that rod. He could take that rod and throw it like a dart right toward that sheep. Never would hit it. What do you want to do? Just startle the sheep. Get the sheep's attention. Do you know, sometimes a shepherd will do that. He'll startle you. He'll get your attention. He will. That rod will never touch you. Never touch you. But it'll be just enough to get your attention, and you'll know the shepherd has flung the rod. Now, the rod in the Bible is a picture of the Word of God. And the Word of God will come to you. It may be while you're reading in the morning. It may be while you're sitting under preaching. It may be while you're riding down the road. It may be somebody that talks to you on the job. And God will use the Word of God to startle you, to awaken you, to shake you, and let you see, let me see, hey, there's some things lacking in my life. But I'm going to tell you what eventually the shepherd will have to do. When the shepherd has startled, when the shepherd has taken that rod and startled. Now, the rod's used for other things. It's used to protect the shepherd from robbers. It's used to protect the sheep from predators. There's many predators out there that are coming after the sheep. And don't you think that that's not true in real life. There's many, many predators that want to take you down. You do understand that when you got saved, you got a bullseye put on you. And the devil and all of hell's coming after you now. Listen to me. And the shepherd's protecting you. Now, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible teaches us in Hebrews, and we're going to be turning there in just a moment, that whom the Lord loveth, now listen to me, he chasteneth. Now, a lot of times when people think of love, they don't think of chastisement. But the Bible says that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, I feel sorry for children that come up in homes where the parents say, well, I love my children too much to discipline them. Feel sorry for those children. Feel sorry for them. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm glad that I have a Heavenly Father that loves me so much that He chastens me. Did you know you can study, and I want you to do this sometime, you can study a herd or a flock of sheep, and you can find that when a sheep just keeps going off the path, I mean just willfully, just will not listen to the voice of the shepherd, just will not do what the shepherd says, that shepherd will fling that rod and startle that little sheep. But if that sheep continues and just insists on going, he'll eventually go over to that sheep and he'll take that rod and crack, break his leg. You say, well, that's mean. Well, a lot of people might think that would be mean. A lot of people thinking spanking your children's mean. That's right. A lot of people think that a lot of things are mean, but God said it's what it takes. And God's going to spank you if you're a stubborn sheep. And God has spanked me as a stubborn sheep. You say, preacher, has God ever chastened you? Yes, He has. Yes, He has. Now, you say, listen, why? I can stand here and say that now. But when it was happening, it was a lot harder to say. And I'm going to give you an illustration. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 12. Now, how many of you, as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 12, and if you don't want to raise your hand, that's fine, even if it's so, you say, well, I don't want to discuss it. How many of you, as you were growing up, you had a mother, a father, or a grandmother, or grandfather that whipped you? Okay, raise your hand. Man, James went up real quick back there. Amen. Raise it real high. I want you to look around you now. Look around you. Just look around. That's about 95% of the congregation. No wonder we're a bunch of good folks. Amen. We got the tar beat out of us. Hey man, if you're from the country, that's what happens. You got the tar beat out of you. Whatever tar is, amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. Now, the Bible says that no chastisement for the present, and that's right here in Hebrews chapter 12. You see it? No chastisement. Look at it here. In verse 11, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. In other words, when you're getting chastised, you don't walk around and say, man, I tell you, Dad's just, I'm so glad he's wearing me out that, you know, Grandma's putting it on me like I've never had it before. Praise God for Grandma. No chastisement. That's the way it is as a Christian. When God is chastening you, now listen to me, when God is chastening you, and when God is chastening me, we don't walk around saying, man, I'm glad God has this system of chastisement in place to get this old stubborn sheep back in the flock. I'm glad God has that. We don't do that. We do not do that. But after we have come under the chastening hand of God, on the backside of it, we can say, I'm glad that my Father in heaven knows exactly what I need and how I need it and when I need it. Amen? Now, didn't you do, listen, some of you today, you walk around, your chest poked out, and you said, well, I tell you, Dad laid it on me when I was a boy. Well, you didn't do that when you was in the fourth grade. Amen? You'd go to school and tell people, I tell you, my dad's the meanest somebody. My mama, she's mean. Man, they hate me. They can't love me and beat me that way. Right? Huh? Am I right? Same way spiritually. When you're getting chastened of God, you don't walk around and say, I tell you, God loves me so much. He's whipped me for 3 consecutive weeks. What a great God. He loves me so much. But after God disciplines and sets us back in the fold and gets our minds and our hearts right, we can say, well, I'll tell you, I'm glad God came to me in my backslidden, uncaring state and chastened me and brought me back in the fold under the loving hand of chastisement. You see? Now, look, if you would, I'm going to teach you some things out of Hebrews chapter 12. And if we don't leave this, that's okay. If Jesus doesn't come, there'll always be another week. But I want you to see this. Stubborn sheep are going to come under chastisement. Now, you might think, well, I'm stubborn, so God doesn't love me. No, I want to say something to you. And many of you who are parents will understand what I'm getting ready to say. Oftentimes, the most stubborn turned out to be the sweetest, the hardest working. See, sometimes that stubborn one's got all that energy and all that. They've got all of that want to do it, and they've got all of that pent up in them, and they kind of go out of control. But when they get whipped in line, when they get trained, and we're going to see that's what chastisement does, they just turn out to be some of the choicest servants, some of the greatest children, some of the greatest leaders. Now, you know what I'm saying, so. And God does too. So what about these stubborn sheep? How does chastisement work in their life? If you're here today and you're saved, notice what the scripture says. There's 3 things that you can do when it comes to chastisement. I'm talking to stubborn sheep this morning. All right? Sheep that just say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to listen to what the preacher says. I'm not going to listen to my youth leader. I'm not going to listen to my parents. I'm not going to listen to my Sunday school teacher. I'm not going to do what God's word says. I'm going to do it my way. I've got my own thoughts on this. God says, well, I'm going to chasten you. I love you too much to let you miss out on the greatest potential that I've instilled in you and that I've instilled in you. Look, if you would, in Hebrews 12. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. We're talking to saved people. Now, if you're not saved, you believe me when I tell you, you can live any way you want. God's not going to chasten you. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. I live any way I want. I go anywhere I want. I do what I want. I don't read my Bible. I don't witness. I don't love God. I have no heart for God. And God never chastens me. I'd be real concerned. As it applies to eternity, I'd be real concerned. Because notice what the scripture says. And you have forgotten, verse 5, the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, my son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth, watch it now, every son whom he receiveth. So it didn't say most sons. If you're saved in the grace of God, and you defiantly, stubbornly go against God's commandments, and you're not receiving chastisement, I'd be real concerned. Because the Bible says, every son, isn't that what it says? Now, God's word's always right. Always. You say, I don't know if I'm going to like this chastisement thing, preacher. We're just getting started. You're going to love this. It's good for you. Now, there's 3 things that you can do when God chastens you. There's 3 things I can do when God chastens me. Here they are. Write them down. Don't miss them now. They're right here in this passage of Scripture. It's going to revolutionize. It's going to help you get right with God. It's going to teach you. And a lot of people tell you, well, if you want to get right with God, you got to do this. Well, if you want to get right with God, just start going back to church. Well, if you want to get right with God, just start reading your Bible again. Well, if you want to get right with God, just claim John 1:9. I'm going to show you from the Bible what God said that a sheep, when they've gone astray, needs to do to get back in the fold by the shepherd. You ready? Let me say this before I get started. When that shepherd breaks that little lamb or that sheep's leg, that sheep no longer can just run off in the way he wants. He binds that sheep's leg up. You know what the shepherd does? He puts it on his shoulders. He develops a special relationship with that sheep. He does. And over time, that relationship between the sheep and the shepherd, during that healing process from that chastisement, when that sheep is allowed to be on his feet again, he will stay right by the shepherd. You ever seen a dog or an animal just rub up against the leg of its owner? Won't leave its side. That's what that sheep will do. You talk to a sheep farmer, I'm telling you, this is the word of God. This is the way it is. You want to find people that love Jesus? You want to find people that love God? You show me somebody that has got outside the will of God and needed restoring, and God corrected and chastened them. Well, I tell you, they are in love with God because they understand my good shepherd loves me so much. So much. He has drawn me back to himself, and that little sheep, everywhere the shepherd goes, listen, everywhere the shepherd goes, that little sheep will follow. Becomes a leader in the flock. He does. By the way, oftentimes it does happen to the sheep and not the lambs. But the lambs watch how the sheep respond, and they follow the lambs, the sheep. Those little lambs do. Adults, parents, listen to me. Your children's watching you. They're watching you. Mine are watching me. I've got grandchildren that are watching me. They're watching their parents, but they're watching their grandparents too. Children are watching, and it's very important. They're going to emulate what they see us do. All right? Let's look at it. Number one, this is the first way that you and I can respond to chastisement. Verse number 5, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. You can despise it, but we're told here not to despise it. Don't despise chastening now. You say, preacher, I don't want to be chastened. I'm going to get angry if God, if he chases me, preacher. I'm not going to like it if God chases me. Hey, I'm going to give you some reasons, one particular, why you should be very thankful that you're getting chastened. Number one, notice what it says. It proves, it reveals that you're saved. Notice what the scripture says. Look at it now. Verse 5, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. So if you're receiving chastening and scourging because you are rebellious or you're stubborn or you're outside the will of God, that's God's way of showing you, you belong to me. Don't despise that. Did you know there's hundreds of thousands of Christians today, they don't know who they belong to. You could ask them, are you saved? Well, I hope so. Come on now, folks. Maybe you've been there. Are you saved? Well, I got saved at one time, but I'm not sure if I'm still saved. There's uncertainty in their life. They're unsure. But did you know the Bible says one of the greatest assurances of salvation is that when you and I do wrong as sheep, that we have a shepherd who loves us so much that he is going to chasten us. Chasten us. When we do wrong, every son, not just some of us, every son. And so don't despise it. God's revealing something to you because you belong to me, because you as a sheep belong to the shepherd. God is chastening you, and that is God's way of telling you, I love you so much because you're mine. I'm going to chasten you. So don't despise it. Don't despise it. Number two. Not only are we not to despise it, but notice in that same verse, in verse number 5, what does it say not to do? Faint. Don't faint. Some people say, I'll quit. I'll quit church. That's not going to change God's chastening you if you're saved. I'll just quit God. That's not going to change God chastening you if you're saved. So here's what he's saying. Now, don't miss this. It's going to help you. It's helped me in my Christian experience. So God begins to chasten. I've done wrong, and instead of me humbling myself and say, God, I've done wrong, I want to make it right, and I want to get right, I get mad at God, or I get mad at the preacher, or I get mad at the Bible, or I get mad at my friend or whoever or whatever, and I say, you know what, I'm going to faint, which means I'm going to buckle, I'm going to fold. Look at verse number 5. It says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So not only are we not to despise, we're not to faint. Quit. I'll just quit. That's not going to stop God from chastening you. It may enhance his chastisement. Don't faint. No, see, chastening's good for us. Let me show you something. Hold your place here just for a moment and turn to Psalm 119. Would you do that? Psalm 119. Is it hot in here to y'all, or is it just me? I'm moving around a little bit. If it's not hot, okay. If it is, somebody get us some air going. I'm fine, but I'm hot, but I'm okay hot, you know. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, I want to show you something from the Word of God in Psalm 119 that I hope will change your life. Okay? Look, if you would, Psalm 119. Look at verse number 67. Psalm 119, verse 67. Look at it there. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Psalm 119, verse 67. You see it there? Before God afflicted me, before God chastened me, as my grandmother used to say, I just didn't believe cow horns would hook. I didn't believe God was going to chasten me. I didn't believe God's word. I didn't believe God's man. I didn't believe God was going to hold me accountable for the way I live. I didn't believe God was going to make me do what he said. I thought I could do what I wanted to do. But then God afflicted me. God chastened me, and God taught me that he loved me too much to let me do what I wanted to do. Just like you should love your children too much to let them do what they want to do sometimes. We heard last night a great devotion from Pastor Brandon on veto power. Can I tell you, God's got final veto power. Amen. And sometimes God says, no, you're not going to do that. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Now, don't be stubborn, son. I will, and I'm going to afflict you too. Has that ever happened to you? Before, look what it says, Psalm 119, verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. I'm going to do what God says now. You know what that's called? God making a believer out of me. Amen. I'm glad God loves me that much. See, I don't know what's best for me. Sometimes I think I do, but I don't. I really don't. Sometimes I think I know what's best for me. And God will have to remind me, son, you do not know what's best for you. I know what's best for you. Look, if you would, in verse number 71 of Psalm 119. Are you there? This is after the affliction now. In verse number 67, he's talking about a past tense, but now he's talking about something that's happened already and that he's lived it and he's experienced it. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Remember how we were talking about, as we go back to Hebrews 12, we were talking about how that when daddy's giving the whipping, or mama or grandma, whoever's giving the whipping, we don't say, man, this is great, this is good for me. But afterward, now that I'm on this side of it, I can look back and say, I'm glad my grandma just wore me out. I probably didn't get enough whippings. And we can kind of be glad that we got whippings. You know, that's the way it is with God, too. You'll be able to look back on your life. I've already lived this long, and I haven't lived as long as many in this building. But I can look back and see where I'm glad God loved me so much, he didn't let me do it my way and go my way. He chastened me back into fellowship because he loved me. So now if you're here today and you're a stubborn sheep, you say, well, I'm not going to do it God's way. I've got my way set. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to listen to what God says. Then God sent you here today so you could hear. You may stick with that, but God loves you and he loves me so much that he's not going to let it do us our way if it doesn't line up with his way, because he loves you and he's got a plan for your life. All right? So we can, number one, what did we say we could do under chastisement? Despise it. Number two, faint. I'll quit, preacher. It's not going to change the fact that God is not going to chasten you. Remember when you were a child, and you probably never done this, but remember when you were a child and you just got a whipping and you said, I wish I'd have never been born. You probably never said that. Probably only people in my household said stuff like that. I had that line memorized, amen? I wished I was somebody else's son. They don't get whippings like I get them, remember? Now, my grandmother would come in there and say, I know you poor pitiful thing. And I'm not going to whip you because you feel that way. No. Didn't slow her down any. I think it fired her up some. Amen. I think it got the leather. The juice is flowing. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So don't think now. Listen to me. Don't think. And I'm trying to help you. Because we think this way sometimes. When God doesn't do the way we think he ought to do, we think, well, I'll just quit. Or I'll just do this, or I'll just do that. God said, well, that's not going to change anything. Amen? Amen. So don't despise it. What's it do? What's it do? It reveals sonship. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Why? Because if you're a son, it's going to reveal that God loves you because you're his own and he's going to chasten you. Number two, don't faint. Why? Because if you quit, you're not going to allow something to happen. I want you to notice what happens if we don't quit. Notice if you would. If we'll hang in there, it's going to do something for us. Look if you would in verse number 9. Well, let's read verse number 7. If ye endure chastening. You see that? If you endure chastening, verse number 7, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Now, I didn't say that. God did. And so God said, now, if you do not get chastened when you do wrong, you don't belong to God. You're a bastard. You're illegitimate spiritually, and you're not a son. But if you won't faint, watch what happens in verse number 9. It's good for you. Notice this. Now, my parents, and probably yours too, remember when they used to say, now, I'm doing this, and it's going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. I don't know how in the world that could happen. Until I became a parent. Right? Now it makes a little more sense. Listen, God's not, I don't want you to get the idea that God's running around with a holy whip, just can't wait to whip his kids. That's not our God. But because he loves us, he chastens us. And he knows what's best for us, just like you do your children. See, sometimes children say, oh, I just know this is what I need. I just got to have it. I just got to go there. I've just got to do this. And you know, all the time, ain't happening. Because I know what you're talking about. Been where you've been. But you haven't been where I'm at. Been down that road. And it's not happening. Now, God's the same way. He's eternal. He knows where we're headed. And he knows where we're going to end up if he doesn't turn us back in, on track. Right? Look, if you would, in verse number 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them what? What's that next word? Say it now. What? Reverence. Not only does chastisement reveal our sonship, thank God it restores our worship. Reverence, brethren. Well, I tell you, you can get all in an attitude. I hate my mama. I hate my daddy. Well, you get that whipping, it won't take long. You say, you know what? I got what I deserve. It might not happen that day. It may not happen that week. But I'm living now. My grandmother and mother and many of you, your parents that whipped you into shape, they done gone on to the other side. But you're living to tell the story that there was somebody who loved you so much, they invested in your life and done the hard thing. They done the hard thing. It's not easy to stay on top of kids. It's not easy to invest in their life. It's not easy to die to yourself and live for them babies. But you listen to me. It'll be worth it one day. It'll be worth it one day. It wasn't what God wanted to do. God didn't say, I can't wait for Adam to sin so I can send my only begotten son to die for them sinners. But that's what God did, amen. God did the hard thing. And when you sin and I sin, when we rebel and when we get stubborn, God will do the hard thing. He'll say, this is not what I enjoy doing, but because I want you to enjoy the best for your life, I'm going to administer it. Because I realize what's going to be on the backside of it. Again, verse number 9, he said, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection to the Father of spirits? So don't faint now. You take what God has for you. And then finally, this is where we close today. I didn't think we'd get from the stubborn, and we're not. Now, they're straying sheep. And there's also sickly sheep, and we're going to talk about them. But I think all of us has got to deal, I think really all three phases we all go through at different times in our life. Talking to those of you who are here today and you're not right with God, you're not in fellowship. You've strayed from the flock. And it's been because of choices that you made in spite of godly counsel, in spite of the Word of God. You made choices. You just went right over what mama said. Now look at you. Just went right ahead and did what the preacher said God said not to do. There's consequences for decisions. Stubborn. Rebellion has consequences in all of our lives. God said, I'm going to deal with it. But I'm going to do it because I love you. I'm going to chasten you, but don't despise it, because it's going to reveal to you I belong to God. And God loves me. That's why He's whipping me in shape and getting me to where I need to be so I can bring out God's fullest potential for my life. And then not only is it going to reveal my sonship, it's going to restore my fellowship or my worship. I'm going to reverence. Then finally, look if you would. Here's the third way. All right? You can, number one, despise it. Don't do that. Number two, you can faint, but notice what the verse number 11 says. Now, no chastisement for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So you can despise it. I can faint under it, or I can allow it to exercise. If you look up that word exercise, it's train. It's training. It's God's training in our lives to get us in shape spiritually, to get us where God wants us. And so he says here in verse number 11, no chastening seems, for the present seems to be joyous, and it's not, but grievous, and it is. But afterward, it yields some things. It brings forth some things. Peaceable. You know, people that are outside the will of God, they're at war in their heart. There's chaos. Now, that doesn't mean you can't walk around. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. But inside, I'm hurting. I'm going down. I'm weak. I'm crying out for help the only way I know how, and that could be a many variety of ways. But God said, if you will allow the chastening hand of God to work and exercise you, it's going to produce some things. The peaceable fruit of what? Righteousness. You know what righteousness means? Right acts. You're going to do right. You're going to do right. I want to close by saying this morning, as you close your Bible and stand to your feet. I believe I speak to a group of people who, by the raising of your hands, got a little bit about, on a physical level, of what I got growing up. And I'm sad I live in a society now that has got all that mixed up. That's sad. It's very sad. And we could go on and on about how it has affected our society and how it has twisted things and twisted people's minds into wrong thinking, which leads to wrong doing. There's really two ways we can take the message from God's Word this morning. We can say, you know what? The preacher preached the Bible. There are times in my life I'm stubborn, and because God loves me, He's going to chasten me. He's going to deal with me. And I don't want to despise it because it reveals to me that I'm God's child. That's why He's chastening me. I'm His child. And I don't want to faint under it and quit because it's only going to get worse. I want to be exercised by it. I want it to be used as a positive in my life to bring me back where I need to be, that so it might produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness or right doing. I want to do what God said do. Or we could say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to continue to do what I want to do. Well, there's an old saying. How do you think that's going to work for you? You think that's going to work out for you? You're just going to come right around again and stumble on that same old campfire. Round and round and round we go. Just like the children of Israel. Don't be that way. Listen. God has a plan and a purpose for every life. I look over here and I see these young men. You're talking about a fine group of young men. That's a fine group of young men right there. Not you and Brandon, Greg. That's a fine group of young men. We've got good young men and good young ladies, good families who love Jesus that attend this church. But we all have a stubborn streak in us that if we're not careful, we'll bow up against God's Word and God's way, God's will. Well, so now I'm going to do this my way. And God will say, okay, I'm going to chasten you. And He's doing it to get you back on track. All right? Let's bow our heads together.